Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Greetings, hello, hi, shalom. Welcome to another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Songs. I'm Brother Seth. I'm here with my wife, Sister Arlene. Arlene, want to say hello to the people?
Shalom, everyone.
And the only reason why we say shalom is because we have rediscovered our Hebrew roots, very serious. And with our people being in this total identity crisis, we think it's very much so that we speak every bit of Hebrew we can find and return to our Hebrew roots, because the Most High know we need to. We are a people with a identity crisis. So, this is why we greet each other in the name Hebrew, or Shabbat Shalom, in the Hebrew, saying Shabbat Shalom, which means, Shalom, of course, means peace. And the Most High commanded Israel, when they greet each other, to greet each other with peace. This is actually where the so-called Muslims, I shouldn't say so-called, but Muslims, get the whole custom of greeting each other in peace. So when these young brothers say peace, they have no idea that they're actually fulfilling scriptures. We'll talk a little bit about that. So today, we're going to be talking about something very important to me. Should be important to you. Well, I know it's important to a lot of y'all, because this blog is actually one of my most popular blogs. This whole teaching on Bible leprosy has been my most popular blog. So I know that many of you is really digging this, or understanding this, or see the relevance of it today. And I'm so happy, not that I'm one of those persons that need white people to confirm every single thing I do, but it's always encouraging to see our white brothers and sisters come along, check things out, and stay and make comments. Because that tells me that we're not spewing forth hatred. Because this topic is very, very much can be misunderstood. I mean, more than any topic I talk about. Because when you start talking about leprosy and you're trying to say that people in the book today, or in the Bible today, is the people. When you start talking about, leprosy today, and you start linking that to Caucasian, most people would definitely get offended with that. So if you're not experiencing that, that must mean you're doing a good job. So we haven't had the kind of hatred, hate mail. At first we did. A lot of issues with our computers, and yeah, at first it was a major, major problem. But that hasn't been the case last 3 weeks. We've really got a strong showing, so I'm happy for that. I'm happy for that, and Arlene, I'm sure you are too. So we want people to understand that the whole purpose behind this teaching on leprosy, Bible leprosy, is to just simply unite us as a human race. What more important thing is there to do? I mean, there's a lot of things going on right now in the world, business transaction, nonprofit organization transaction, but other than feeding the hunger or something like that, I really can't see too many things more important than the gospel, number one, the whole good news about how Christ came and took away our sins, and we have a relationship through the Father. With the Father through Christ. That's number one. And charity, you know, a lot of charity work like feeding hunger, that's definitely number two. But somewhere up there, the message that will unite people got to be one of the most important things that a person can do. So I just want to just go into this, letting everybody know that we are truly here to unite. The revelation of leprosy has been, like I said, the number one thing that have united us as a human race, because what we actually do is talk about how the Most High created man from the dust of the earth. And we get into talking about Leviticus 13, goes into showing that the so-called white skin, as we know today, is a mutation from the brown skin that comes from dirt. The Bible says when Christ, when the Most High made man from the dust of the earth, everything was to reproduce after itself. And so this is why we know that brown dirt is the same brown dirt that the Father dealt with when he created man. Or as the scripture says, when we let us create man. So more than just the Father. So anyway, I've already jumped into it too deep. I do it all the time. Before I do that, let me just take care of a few things. First and foremost, we are Five Smooth Stones. We are the host, Five Smooth Stones. Again, I'm Brother Seth, and you heard from Sister Arlene. We are located at blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. Again, Five Smooth Stones. All right? Now, we want to remind everybody that on the front page, if you type in what I just said, on the front page is a picture of several pictures that are rotating. Well, actually, on the front page, that's not it. It just have a picture of the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three dark faces. Under that is a link. If you click on that link, it'll take you to the library that I have online with Google, and you can get more information on leprosy from a lot of people that have more letters behind their names. Some of you like that. Some of you need that. Everybody don't need that, but some of you, that's what works for you. So anyway, if you need that, there you have it. Again, our library, very, very extensive, lots of information there. Not just on leprosy, but all of the five smooth stones or all of the five topics that we talk about, okay? Now, all right, let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer because we definitely are very serious this morning, afternoon for some of y'all, and we're not playing. We take our time very, very serious, especially today. Today is a sacrifice to do this particular blog. Today is a sacrifice, believe that. Anyway, let's invite the Father, because except the Most High build a house, the laborers labor in vain. Dear Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for opportunity to even talk to you, worship you, seek your faith, talk to our brothers and sisters. Father, we ask you that as we study this topic with your scriptures, with your word, that you would reveal your word unto us this morning. Help us to see exactly what the scriptures was talking about when it talked about Bible leprosy, when it talked about the different people that had it. Help us to understand and not be deceived by anything. I ask that you speak through me, Arlene, anyone that is on this mic or that has the floor to speak. I ask that you would speak to us, about this situation. We're seeking your face. You say those that seek you, if they seek you with all their heart, will find you. So this is what we're doing. This is what we're asking. Father, we just thank you again for sending us the Holy Spirit that is to reveal to us all things. And we know that you would do it today. We know that you would reveal this truth today by the self-same Spirit. So we thank you again for your word, for your love, for your promises you made to us. And we stand on those promises, and we look for you to, as we seek, you reveal to us your truth. These things we ask in your Son, the Messiah name. Amen. All right, folks. There you have it. Now, what we're going to do today on this subject is recap. And then we may If we do a good job, we can end the show today. If not, there'll be a part four. So, Arlen, what do you have to say about this whole, y'all excuse me, taking a sip of coffee there. What do you have to say so far that this message is done for you? Well, I'll tell you what, Arlen, if you don't mind, because I was going to do this and I would like to, I'm sure the people would probably like to hear your take on this. Why do you think this message is important? People are listening right now for the first time and they're saying, you know what, I don't get it. Why is this so important to y'all? Why is leprosy so important to y'all? For those that listen for the first time, or maybe a second or third time, you still not understand the purpose, which if you heard it three times, I know you should know the purpose now. But go ahead and you give the purpose, and then I'm going to talk about the purpose. We're going to get into this.
Well, I think the purpose is very specific to individuals, depending on where they are in their walk with the Most High and in their understanding of what's going on around them. You know, there was a time when people were so spiritual that they were no earthly good, which meant they really weren't aware of what was going on around them. They just kind of went to church and believed what they were told and didn't really study and didn't really think and reason things out. And I think that what has happened is we have believed some things that were true, but we've also believed some things that were lies. And deep within our hearts, we've had questions that we've not only not had answers to, but we were even afraid to utter, afraid to even ask the Most High about, you know, just afraid to put them out there because it was something that was not talked about, you know, but that feeling of, you know, why do I feel less than? Why do I feel like I'm at the bottom? Why does it feel like I'm being singled out as a people, that our people are being singled out and oppressed all around the world? You know, why is it that we can only go so far? Just a few of us can succeed, but the mass of us are oppressed still, or it seems like there's a glass ceiling above which we can't seem to rise. It seems like, in general, that our people just don't even seem to be interested in the knowledge or the opportunities, you know, that would help to pull us up as a people. Why is it that we can't really get together? You know, why is it that the answers always seem to come from people that don't look like us? Why is it that we can't be a unified group, you know, that we can pool our resources and our wisdom and our knowledge and our abilities and come up with answers that's going to help us as a people? You know, there's just a lot of things, and I'm talking about these questions within the church. You know, you can be a part of a church and still have these deep, deep unanswered questions, and it makes you wonder, and you want to see yourself, you know, just like now, seeing the first black African-American president in 2011, you know, the 44th president. We've had 43 that didn't look like us, you know, and we were okay, you know, we said, well, they're the president, we gave them their due respect and whatnot, but to know that the opportunity is there, that the possibility is there. So I think that people who have been really involved in church, who have been crying out to God, you know, reading their Bible, have been reading it with a certain slant. You know, we've been reading it as stepchildren, glad to be brought, or as orphans even, glad to be brought in, you know, at that last minute, you know, at that 12th hour, brought in at the last minute through the mercy of the Most High. And I'm thankful for His mercy. But to know that we weren't brought in at the last minute, but we actually were the first, but we have lost our way. That's an important thing to know because we have a heart, you know, to love people, to reach out to people, still after all the things that we've been taught wrong. I think it's just important to know that we actually were the first chosen of the Most High. I mean, that right there, people really can meditate in that, not get arrogant about it, but just understand that you had purpose from way before you were even born, and that through your heritage and lineage, that there are blessings, that there's access to things that we have. There's a purpose for us today, and we need to understand that so that we're able to stand strong and true and worship the Most High and help Him to fulfill, bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Well put, well put. Arlene, I always like to hear her comments. She always comes at things a little different than I do. She sees things a little bit different than I do. She was one of the ones that this mess really was offensive to in the beginning. Actually, she didn't believe it. So one thing about Arlene I would say is she don't believe something, she's not going to endorse it. So when I first started teaching this, my own wife didn't quite. One thing she said to me was, what you prove is the leprosy of the Bible. And the leprosy that they say is leprosy today, you've proven very good that they are not the same. But I'm not so sure what you're saying is the true leprosy is the truth. So that's what she was at for a while. If there's anything in there that you might want to. So she have since come along and understand it and understand the vision or the importance, rather, of why this needs to be taught, okay? I will never, ever, as long as I have breath, give up teaching on the subject of Bible leprosy. I think it is a shortcut to what happens in February. In February, everybody wants to talk about all of the accomplishments of black people. And to me, that's the long route. Yes, we need what happens in February. But if people can get the revelation of Bible leprosy, you don't have to do all that. I mean, somebody still needs to draw out the fact that, or mention the fact that we created this and we created that. We were the first this, we were the first that. Because you definitely ain't going to hear it on NBC, ABC, CBS. So you definitely need February, probably all 12 months to talk about that. But leprosy to me, Bible leprosy as I call it, to me, is a shortcut. If I can prove beyond a shadow of doubt that the early man that the Most High made was a brown skin, because he wasn't so-called black as we call black today. There's no such thing as a black man, a white man. We'll talk about that a little later on. But there's no such thing. We're all one people made from the brown dust of the earth, and we start losing our brown or losing our earth as sin entered the picture. Not only did we start losing our pigmentation, we also are losing things like I say, every single week, we start losing things like hair. We start losing things like getting too tall, start getting too short. Many of us grew too short, many of us grew too tall. So these things, we started seeing different things happen with our body. So one of the things that happen in our body, again, is the losing of the pigmentation or losing our covering, okay? And in the Bible days, you know, those men were close to the Most High, and they trusted the Most High more than we do today, and they had a little bit more power than we exercise today. So back in the day, they would actually curse people to be white. And when we say white, we're talking about a color of a mutation. They was cursed to be a mutation, which means they was cursed to be a color that you don't see within the earth nowhere. There is no color, so-called color of white. There is nothing that is the color of white. I'm going to say it again. Look outside your window. Look at the environment. Look at the earth. It's green and brown. Everything was made from those two colors. Everything was made. All color is within the dark soil. That dark soil they call humus, H-U-M-M-A-S, which is where we get the word human from. Everything could be made from that dark soil. Every color can come from that dark soil. This is how we believe, this is why we know and believe that mankind was made from, everything was made from that dust. So this is the Most High's choice for his man. So why do we talk about this in my opinion? You heard from Arlene. The reason I talk about this, again, is that it is a shortcut to so-called black greatness. If we can show that everything started with brown-skinned people, this will dethrone a lot of the white supremacists that we hear spewing out at the universities, on the university level, on the high school level, on the elementary level, in our social society. we constantly hear the disrespect for Africa, the disrespect for brown skin, even from some of our own people. This is a lie released within the earth, a lie that has crippled many nations, because many nations are brown-skinned, and they've not valued that, but we have valued and overvalued what we call white skin. So, again, what this does, it brings a balance. It brings a balance. It rebukes one, it exhorts another, and it brings more of a balance. And I say rebukes one because we've been taught lies in regards to who white people are. We've been taught that everything started with white people. We were been taught that black skin was a result of a curse. We was taught that our hair is, you know, a result of a curse. Everything about black people. Now, things are changing. Things are changing. If you're young, if you're 30 years old and younger, you might have a hard time understanding this because in your world, things have changed so. But those of us a little older, we can remember being told Ham was cursed because of his blackness. We can remember our moms and dads shaping our noses. Yes, yes, that happened. I even remember my own mom shaping noses, talking about it. So we grew up in a white supremacist society where brown-skinned people have a low self-esteem because of these lies. So what we're doing is sharing that everybody come from one family, everybody come from one family, everybody come from one family. And we show that. And we show how we begin to turn white, and I say we begin to turn white because we are one family. Again, 5 smooth stones, blogtalkradio.com/5_smooth_stones. This whole show is strictly about love and the unification of all people. We are not preaching no hatred. We don't have time for it. The Bible says whatsoever is not done in love is a sin. Whatsoever that is done out of love is a sin. So we don't play with hatred. If the worst case scenario about this message is we're teaching error, that's the worst thing we can be ever accused of, is y'all teaching error. Again, it ain't going to stick if we don't. But I'm saying that's the worst thing you can say, but you can never say we teach hatred. That is not true. Okay? So, but let's see. Let's look into the scriptures and let's talk about these things. And we also invite the professionals on to talk about this as well. I'm going to try to see if we can get another video today. We can look at another video. Now, I think we're going to try to wrap this up today, this whole leprosy topic. While I'm having a blast with it, and a lot of you are, I do want to go on to some other things that the Most High has given us to share on next week. So let's go ahead in our Bibles, first and foremost, and let's start this off by looking at what leprosy is. What leprosy is, we want to start right off the gate at Exodus 4:6. Those of you listening, you listen every week, bear with me. I will share things that you haven't heard. I will share things that you haven't heard, but we have got to begin the first hour for sure with going over some of the things that we talked about before. Now, be careful because some of these things y'all might think you've heard before. You may say, you're going to cover things you've heard before the first hour, and you're going to get a cup of coffee. You might miss out on something because you wasn't always listening, probably every single thing I said, maybe. Anyway, we cover things every week, same things for about the first hour. I said the first 45 minutes. And then after that, we get into some things that I haven't mentioned before. We're going to actually play a video of someone talking about the extreme opposite of leprosy. Sometimes you can understand leprosy by understanding what it is not, or the extreme opposite. And that is melanin. Leprosy means to have no pigmentation. We call leprosy a form of leprosy. A form of leprosy. Let's get this straight. There's about 5 different forms of leprosy. Today we're talking about one form of leprosy. We're talking about vitiligo, and we're talking about albinism. That's the new words we call it today. The new words today, again, is albinism, or albino, and vitiligo. But in the Bible days, they didn't have those words, and it was just simply called leprosy, losing pigmentation either slowly or born all white, which is what we call albinism today. We're going to show you these things in Scripture. And again, y'all need to really listen, be patient, because in the end, we will nail this thing down. You will see it. You will see it. I've gotten so many testimonials. People calling me and saying, man, I've never heard it like that. I did not know this is what that meant. Oh, my goodness. And we don't make anybody, again, hate, but it just goes, it does what the Bible says truth will do. Christ said, man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of the Most High, which means when you say live, it means really flourish. And we need this information, okay? Again, get this information. You don't have to spend 10 years trying to figure out what we discovered. Blacks discovered this, blacks discovered that, we invented this, we invented that. If it all started with us, that means everything you see could be, except brown-skinned people started first or initiated it. So, Arlene, you want to get Exodus, if you have that?
4 and 6.
All right. And, again, we're calling leprosy one more time a type of leprosy. It's like 5 or 6 types. We only talk about one type to prove our point or to show light on what we're trying to get at. We're trying to show how everything started with people of brown skin. And why, again, we're talking about this because we've been lied to so much about people with brown skin. And we're trying to unite people because some people actually teach that white people are different from us. And I say it every week. I am white. You are white. Every single person listening on the face of this earth is white. It's just some of us, on top of being white, we have a coating. We have a covering. And that covering is brown earth. Okay, some of us are a little darker than others, but we're not just white. We are covered with a hue or with a dust-colored skin. And this is nothing more than earth. Nothing more than earth. And that's why we talk about melanin today, because Dr. Pukum, I don't think we're going to play Dr. Pukum, but they were trying to find another doctor. I had Saul, and I want to see if I can locate them. But anyway, they're going to talk about the extreme opposite. And once you see the value of this pigmentation, this dark pigmentation, you'll understand why those of us that have it have been up under attack, because many people know this truth. You might not. You might fight it. You might doubt it. But there are powers. The powers that be know exactly what I'm saying, because they are scientists, and they know scientists, and they know the true value and the strength of dark skin. What exactly does it do? What are the properties? And it's amazing. It's one of those things you just can't believe. It's so unbelievable, you just have a tendency to doubt it. That's what's really going on. Okay, so let's go ahead, Arlene. Go ahead and get, again, 4 and 6, please.
Can I comment on what you
said? Yes, go ahead and comment on what you just said.
I just like to say things in a different way. I feel like that when the Most High created Adam and Eve, he created them earth-colored. So because they were earth-colored, all of their offspring were earth-colored. So we are all one family, the human family. We're all earth-colored, but some of us are not. So that's the way that I see it. Some people, for whatever reason, be it genetics, be it because of the leprosy, that they do not have the pigment in their skin that protects them from the UV rays of the sun. And because of that, they are not covered. So we were born covered, we started out covered, and what has happened over time is we have a population within our human race that are not covered. Exodus 4:6.
Right.
And the Most High said, furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he, meaning I think he's talking to Abraham,
Moses.
Oh, he's talking to Moses? Okay, he's talking to Moses. And the Most High said furthermore unto him, to Moses, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
One more time, please.
And the Most High said furthermore unto him, being Moses, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
Now, whatever leprosy is going to follow the word as. And Johnny was happy as. You want to know what happy is? Happy is, you listen to what follows the word as. And Johnny was happy as, I don't know, a pig eating slop. Or if you want to say, it's the first thing you think of, if you want to say, and the ladder, the building was high as, if you want to know how high the building was high as, whatever come after as is what's going to be defining the word before as. So leprous as, whatever leprosy is going to come after as, and it's a leprous as snow. Leprous as snow. Folks, I'm telling you today, we're submitting you today, that leprosy simply means white skin. White skin, white skin is nothing more than leprosy. It's just that simple. White skin is nothing more than leprosy. If you look at our page that's right now on our page, we got pictures. We got a picture. The first picture is the picture of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The second picture is the picture of some people holding hands, and there's a dark hand, and then dark, this other hand losing pigmentation. Then there's a brother. He is black. He's a dark skin. Well, he's a brown skinned person. But then he loses his pigmentation, and he becomes white, all white, an albino. Okay? And then the next picture is look like a white gentleman, but I actually believe this gentleman is, let me look again, he's an albino. Now, wherever there is the presence of melanin, wherever there is the presence of melanin, statistics are 1 out of 17,000 births result in albinoism. 1 out of 17,000 births result in albinoism. The average life expectancy of an albino is 40 years. But as they mix with people with melanin, their seed, rather, they live longer. Their seed, I'm talking about. Okay? Both parents must carry that the albino gene in order to have an albino child. Just a little effect about albinoism. Tanzania have more albinos than anywhere. They have 170,000 albinos in one nation. You want to see some? Go to Tanzania.
Inbreeding.
I guess. So there's just a few facts about albinoism. Nobody, the doctors, nobody has a cure for albinoism. Nobody really know why it happened. Okay? We got a question. Let me go ahead and open up the phone line. Area code 817. Hold on, we'll get you on here in a second. All right, go ahead, area code 407.
Hi, it's Kimberly.
Hi, Kimberly, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm glad I came across this.
Well, I'm glad you came across it. Is this your first time listening?
It is, and first time calling.
Oh, okay.
Well, Kimberly, we're here every single Saturday, and we've been covering this for now, like, I guess it's about episode number 5. And I hope you continue to listen, and we're not sure as to whether we're going to keep going with it, because we get it all types of ways. The only thing I haven't done, and it's just fault of my own, is there's actually more information on this, but I haven't had time to just pull it out of the closets and everything. So I've been kind of going off of knowledge I've had for years and years and years. But there is a whole lot more where this comes from. And I may just take a notion today or sometime this week to go and actually dig and get more information. There is more information on leprosy, even in the Bible. And we go through a lot of scriptures you'll see today. What was you going to say, something?
Well, if you have time for a testimony.
Okay, go right ahead.
My daughter, she developed this one little spot, which I paid no attention to because my body is riddled with white spots. And I had no problem with it until that one spot on her chin started to spread. And it got worse, and the kids started teasing her at school. So we went to the doctor, and we talked about it, and he diagnosed it. And he really didn't have any answers as to what she could take. He just pretty much said, this is what it is, and, you know, pray that it doesn't spread all over or doesn't consume her. And my daughter went to church one day, and she must have had some things on her mind that she told one of the preachers that was the thing that was bothering her. And they prayed and whatnot, and my daughter's spot started closing in on its own. I didn't beef up any vitamins or anything. But that was the age of 13. And my daughter's going on 25 years old, and the spot is just a small spot on her face, and by the grace of God, it hasn't done any more than that.
Okay. Well, that is good news. That is good news. And, you know, just like the preachers pray, and that spot begins to get darker, or close in,
mm-hmm.
That's all that Christ did when he prayed. He prayed, and what happened is back in the Bible, that leprosy, and we'll read here in a second, whenever you have a spot, just like you said your daughter had that spot, you were supposed to come to the Levitical priest, and they were supposed to look at that spot, and depending upon what it was doing, like if it was getting darker, like with the situation with your daughter, you was declared clean, or they was declared clean by the priest. And clean means accept it. Don't have nothing to do with water and soap. It just means
nothing to do with that.
Custom. Yeah, it just means accept it, okay? So in your daughter's case, had we noticed, or back in the biblical times, if they noticed, oh, here's a person with a spot, you go take them to the priest. The priest will look at them. And that's that's Leviticus 13 and 6 I'm talking about. Leviticus 13, mm-hmm. So you look at that spot, and when it becomes somewhat dark, then you were to be declared clean. We're going to read Leviticus 13 here in a second. It's going to make a whole lot more sense to you. But I'm so glad that your daughter experienced that, because I think I'd be, you know, if I start getting white spots, I know I'd trip out. But I also know that it is a result of sin in the earth, just like I'm losing hair right now. Well, Adam had a full head of hair. Okay, so if you're losing hair right now, or, you know, you're growing too tall, 7 feet, and your jaws are hurting you, or you're too short, maybe you're 3 feet or 4 feet, and, you know, you're going to be, your body's going to be in discomfort because of that. These are actually diseases. Leprosy, vitiligo, albinism is not. It was a plague that came upon mankind. Either priests cursed people that way, or it was a result of sin within the earth. sin within the earth caused a lot of us to not be able to do some things. We no longer live hundreds of years because of sin in the earth. We no longer have, some of us can have children, women, because of sin in the earth. Like I said, some of us go too tall, some of us go too small, some of us lose hair, some of us have all type of bone issues. These things happen to all mankind because of sin. So I'm just glad that it worked out for your daughter, and I'm just hoping that the more this show go on, you begin to understand what exactly even more leprosy is, what it is not. But like I said, in your daughter's situation, we went ahead and jumped into Leviticus, which we're going to do that in a second, but I just wanted to let you know that that's verse 6. It does talk about if that spot gets somewhat dark, then you declare clean. You wasn't, because if it wasn't clean and you was declared unclean, the opposite of clean is unclean, then you'd be put, a leper, shut up the person. No, I'm talking about when they declared unclean. They actually, you could be a priest, you could be this, you could be that in Israel. There was limits because that was a result of sin in your family, and so you couldn't even be a priest, and that was harsh. That would seem like a little harsh, but that was Bible days. Christ have come. None of this makes any sense whatsoever now. None of this makes any sense whatsoever now because Christ have come. I shouldn't say don't make any sense. It makes sense. What I meant to say is it absolutely, thank you. It doesn't determine your right standing with the Most High. You're able to have a relationship with him regardless of whether you got spots or all white or whatever. It don't matter anymore. But we're talking about it today to dethrone white supremacy in our minds because although your daughter, who I'm assuming is brown skin, is dealing with a white spot, that's me assuming, there are a lot of people that are all white. I mean, they're literally white people listening. And they, I want them to understand how they got white. We initially started brown, but we started losing pigmentation with spots just like what your daughter had that spread, kept spreading. Next thing you know, the whole body was white. When the whole body turned white and you're one tone, and there's no breaking of that tone, which means you can't see through the flesh, then you were considered clean also because it's all one tone.
The interesting thing is that I sat and I watched a documentary. It was a four-hour documentary on the black bear and its offspring, and how the black bear is related to the polar bear is just the adaptation of the climate and the region where the white bear ended up. As the black bear moved away, he started adapting, and his body started adapting to each region, which produced the brown bear, and eventually as they got further up the polar, he became white polar. And it went on and it went into genetics, and it was really good. It was a four-hour documentary. Yet no man has set that same theory when it comes to the people.
Well,
and I always found that interesting because if scientists can clearly understand how the black bear was first and prominent and became the polar bear, generated a polar bear out of its loins. How come they can't understand that black people generated a polar people out of its loins? Which is a different subject, but it made me wonder.
Right, and another thing is say your name one more time.
It just made me wonder why they could spend 4 hours and do all this research and explain why the dominant black bear or the dominant black person can have white offspring, have that come direct lineage out of his loins,
Yeah, this is my name is Arlene, and I was listening to your comments, and I think what you touched on is something that's just very clear. The science is there. The science speaks for itself. But the thing is, because people that are in control really don't want this information to come out in regards to humans, they're able to share it, though, in regards to animals. And you can see the science behind it. So the same thing really can apply to humans, but what has happened is originally the first, you know, it's genetics, but it occurred back in biblical times when people had children that didn't have pigment, and they actually called it something different because it was so unusual, it was so astonishing that it was considered a plague, okay? So if you were the result of a plague, and then down the road you ended up being on top and in a position of power, you would not want that story told. But because they're able to share it in the natural world when it comes to animals, we can see the science behind it. So I'm not surprised that we're not able to find that kind of information, but sometimes you can find it on PBS because PBS is, you know, more about science and whatnot. But in the mainstream media, you're really not going to find that. You have to go to certain areas where people really just want to share knowledge for the sake of knowledge. So if you look at the science behind the bears, though, it's very similar to what's happened with humans, but no one's telling that story.
Absolutely. Because I don't think anybody would want to say we are the recessive and we are that gene that went astray. We, you know, everybody wants to claim this pure people, but they don't want to. They don't want to understand that pure people had melanin in them, big, rich
right.
melanin in them from the earth. You
Absolutely.
Know, and they were formed out of a pure soil. That's why the darkness came, because they had all of had the most essential minerals and vitamins and essential things that came with the soul, came with our bodies. And
Absolutely.
We also don't want to recognize that we are deficient of those things. Because as we got watered down and as we moved away from the homeland and as things, adaptation has taken place, we have become deficient in our bodies with the minerals and the vitamins and the very things that we need that came from the soil. And then with people changing the soil and doing the things that they are doing, you know, not letting the land rest and the things that are clearly scripted in the Bible, and they're not doing these things. As we get further and further away from the true motherland and from the true knowledge, from the true wisdom and through instructions that how to live, then we end up with these circumstances.
Amen. Amen. I'm really enjoying you sharing. What is your name again? What name do you want to go by?
Well, I go by Love is Light, and that says it all, but my name is Kimberly.
You go by what light? Say it again.
Love is Light.
Okay. Well, Love is Light, or Kimberly, I just want to thank you for that testimony of your daughter getting healed from those spots, as well as you sharing your take on the whole melanin situation. I just think it's the coolest thing that we can talk to people all across the country and world, really, about this topic and other topics on Blog Talk Radio. So did you have any more comments? And
I wanted to share another little quick testimony with you. And
okay.
this is as raunchy as raw as I can get, but I had I lost my mother and went into this kind of limbo depression type thing, where I resorted back to reaching out to men for sex and stuff to kind of cushion that hurt. And I got like 6 spider bites that year. And that time set frame that I was reaching out and acting out in sexual ways and whatnot and just being off the hook, I got 6 spider bites. The last spider bite I got was one of those recluse spiders, and it's very dangerous, and you're supposed to go to the doctors right away. I didn't go to the doctors because I already knew that was in connection with me acting like a fool, and God was saying enough. So I went right to church and could barely walk. I went to church, and the people were saying, oh, my God, I wouldn't even try to go to church. I would have went to the doctors. I went to church. The thing healed up. It took some time to heal up, and I still bear the scar of it, and which I should bear the scar of it, because I feel like when when we're punished, we need to, sometimes we need something to hold on to say, this is why you don't continue to do this, you know? So I bear that scar because it's just in representation of being disobedient. So some of the things, like you said, we go through because of sin, and we have to deal with the consequences that are everlasting sometimes.
Right. Yeah, we talked about that earlier. You're right, the consequences of sin, we're getting too tall or too short, not able to have children. You're absolutely right. I really appreciate you sharing today. And I think if you listen, you're going to get a lot more nuggets than what we talked about.
Okay.
Don't forget, we're going to get into Leviticus 13, but for sure, if you have to leave early or something, make sure you read all of it. Now, again, there's different types of leprosy. There's leprosies that affect the skin. There's leprosy even that can affect garments because, you know, back in the day they wore animal clothing from animals, and then there was leprosy that was in houses, that was literally inside of the brick. This was a plague. This was a plague that the Most High put, even said, I put leprosy in houses. He said that. There's a scripture that actually says that the Most High said, I put leprosy in houses. So the prophets was cursing men with this whiteness, and the Most High, if people was wicked, he would do something to their homes. It's like a plague. You got to use a proper word. A lot of people say disease. It's not nothing to do with disease because the house ain't a person. But he would curse the house. And so, and then garments used to be cursed. And so it has absolutely nothing to do with this whole new definition of leprosy, of being pus and sores and fingers falling off and all this, twisted up, as you would see if you did research right now what most preachers are calling leprosy. I met with a doctor, Dr. Chetty, of the University of Cincinnati, and he was a world authority up there in the dermatology department. He's a world authority on leprosy, what the world called leprosy. And he and I had a conversation. I recorded him, and that's one of those things I told you I got out in my closet that I got to find. But I actually got a tape of him saying, out of his own mouth, I asked him, can I record you? He said, yes. But he says out of his own mouth, the leprosy that he teaches or he cares for, and he's seen thousands of cases in India. He's from India. He says the leprosy that he see and treat has absolutely nothing to do with Bible leprosy. He says Bible leprosy wasn't contagious. It wasn't fatal. He said the leprosy I teach both is fatal and contagious. So, again, leprosy is nothing more, a type of leprosy is nothing more than vitiligo and albinism. We're going to show that and prove that today, and also show how relevant it is in our walk with the Most High, why we need this information. We need this information, I'm telling you, Sister Kimberly, because our people is hating the very thing that the Most High made. He made, he chose a brown earth, and he said it is good, it is good. So what the Most High called good, let every man call good and not curse it. So we're going to try, just pray with us as we do our presentation that we're able to cover our ground. So just, again, thanks for calling. I want you to just keep listening. If you have another question, hit 1 on your phone again right now. Do my favor, hit 1 right now on your phone. Just hit the letter 1, the number 1.
Hello?
Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to see. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on mute. And if you have another comment, hit 1 again, and I'll see that you have another comment, okay? Multiple comments.
Okay, now I do have a site that you can go to, which is Natural Herbs.
Okay.
It's vitiligo.com.
Oh, you got a vitiligo site up?
Yes, and it talks about the use of ginkgo. It talks about basil leaves and lime juice, turmeric and mustard oil, ginger juice. But when you go down a little further, that's when it gets into telling you reducing the stress. There's a phrase pastors use that say, if you're gonna worry, don't pray. if you're going to pray, don't worry. So we have to also understand the significance of that stress and worry in us and what it promotes.
Kimberly, what did you say the website name again? Give us the address again.
It's vitiligos.com, VITILIGOS.com.
Oh, you put an S in it, okay. Vitiligos.com. I went to vitiligos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is something that you actually have a website on there. Wow. Wow, and a lot of people say, Seth, I don't believe it's leprosy thing because I don't believe that it's vitiligo because. And they go and say that white people can't have albinos. So they can be an albino if they have an albino. And I just say to them, you know what? White people can have albinos because white people would be considered clean. Most white people
mm-hmm.
would be considered under Levitical law because they mix so much with black people. That's why they have dark hair. Because an albino, as you know, have very light eyes, very light hair. They can't even look at the sun. But whites over the years mix so much with us, and I say whites, but we are the same people. Okay, those of us that lost our pigmentation, which are albinos, have mixed so much with people with melanin, so they got brown hair and red hair and darker eyes. You know, everybody don't have the gray eyes and the real light eyes. So we got blue eyes, and we get dark and dark and darker. And because of that, under the Leviticus priest, if you look at their skin, even though they have the yellow hair, we'll talk about that in Leviticus in a second,
mm-hmm.
and yellow hair is nothing more than blonde hair, it's still considered clean because they've mixed so much with melanin. And because they have melanin, Kimberly, they can have albinos. They can have albinos, but they don't have albinos nowhere near the rate that so-called black people or brown-skinned people have albinos. So that's why white people too can have albinos, because that threw me off when I first heard that white people can have
mm-hmm.
albinos, but it can be an albino. They're the closest to the state of albinism or albinism than so-called black people are. So that's all we are. We're just one family with different degrees of this thing called melanin. So we're going to go ahead and put you on mute. Again, thank you for the website, vitiligos.com. And I would like to really read this on my own. I'm going to bookmark this. So stay tuned, please. If you have another comment later on, let us know by hitting 1 on your phone again, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, thanks for sharing.
Thank you.
That was Love is Light, Miss Kimberly. Wow. Wait, that was a pretty good testimony, huh, Arlene?
Oh, yeah, great.
So anyway, and anybody else that have comments like that, you're more than welcome to share them, please. That's what we're all about. We want to hear testimonies like Sister Kimberly. That was just unreal that she actually have a daughter and she was willing to share it. That was something. So good for her. Kimberly, hit 1 on your phone because it's showing you have your hand up, and I know you don't. And then you can hit 1 on your phone right now, just hit number 1. There we go. So if you have a question, hit 1 later on, and we'll know you got a question. All right, folks, let's move right along. Arlene, let's talk about another person with this thing called leprosy, and let's see if it's lining up with what we're saying. Numbers 12 and 10. Numbers 12 and 10. We're actually going to look at a description of it. It's actually going to be a description associated with this passage. Okay, Kimberly, you showing you have a question?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. If you don't have a question, hit 1 on your phone right now. If you do, don't hit anything, and I'll open up the line. Hold on, I want to see. Yes, okay, Kimberly, go ahead. Did you have another question?
There is what used to be witch doctors back in the past, and now they call themselves holistic doctors, and I don't think that they would appreciate the connection between the two. Because a lot of things that are called wrong are right, and a lot of things that are called right are wrong. Like modern medicine is not pure. But people need to really consider, even though insurance don't support it, they need to consider going to holistic doctor again, once more.
Well, do my favor, Kim, because it's a little bit going taking us off the subject. You're getting into the holistic cure of it right now. And that's important,
mm-hmm.
but right now I want to nail down what it is. I want to
okay.
nail down what people can see, according to the Bible, what it truly is. And I don't think we've done that yet. So there's a lot of new
okay.
listeners, and they don't even know what we're saying is even leprosy yet. So we got to nail
okay.
that down. Okay? So keep listening, though, and we'll open up the line if you have another comment. All right, so anyway, let's talk about what it truly is, what leprosy truly is. Again, thank you, Kimberly, for those comments. So if we would go to Numbers 12 and 10, Arlene is going to read this. Y'all got to check this out. This right here is amazing. You got to hear this scripture. Arlene, Numbers 12 and 10, please.
And the cloud departed off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Continue. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let not her be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he cometh out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto the Most High, saying, Heal her now, O Most High, I beseech thee. And the Most High said unto Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not, so Miriam was brought in again. And afterwards the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. And the Most... Did you want me to keep reading?
No.
Oh, okay.
So, again, alas, my Lord, one more time.
Alas...
This is Moses' brother, or Miriam's brother. They're all brothers and sisters, the three of them. And Aaron is describing what his sister has just been smitten with. Go ahead.
And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb.
One more time. Well, let me expound. He said, let her not be as a stillborn baby whose flesh is half consumed. Stillborn babies are not ate up, chewed up like something unconsuming. It's not using the word consume like we talk about today. Consume just means have color. No pigmentation versus some pigmentation. And like I've shared this every single week now, I've done this presentation in a lot of places. When I was in Columbus, Ohio, I was teaching this, and a nurse interrupted me and said, this is very true. She said, I'm a nurse, I deliver babies, and I'm telling you, all stillborn babies have no pigmentation. So again, when he said, Aaron said, Alas, my Lord, talking to Moses, they called each other Lord back then. Alas, my Lord, let her not be as one who is dead, who's coming from his mother's womb. Talking about a stillborn baby. Whose flesh is half consumed. is talking about the flesh of a stillborn baby. They have no pigmentation. And that's all we're sharing with you today is leprosy is nothing more than a mutation. It's a discoloration of the body. Like if you look within your mouth, there is no color in your mouth. It's a mutation from the rest of the skin. If you look under your eyelid, it has no color. It's a mutation from the rest of the skin. If you look at the palm of your hands even, slightly, it's the same thing. It's not a color. It's not the color on the other side of your hand. Well, in most cases, not unless you are albino or in some cases Caucasian. All we're sharing, supporting today is that we're one family, different levels of mutation, okay? That's all we're sharing. We're just simply killing this philosophy of white supremacy, that everything started white. No, everything started with the earth color, earth tone people, all right? So let's move right along and let's go to 2 Kings 5. Now we're about to bring in 2011. The year 2011 is in the Bible. Watch this. We're about to show you a scripture that's going to bring 2011 into the day, and then we're going to start reading on Leviticus 13, and then we're going to end with a clip about melanin, the extreme opposite. What happens when you don't have white skin? What is the power or the significance of this brown skin, this earth that we're wearing? Okay? Go ahead, Arlene. I want you to read 2 Kings 5. Well, let me just explain 2 Kings 5, and then we won't read the whole thing because it's kind of lengthy. But basically, there was a gentleman by the name of Gehazi. We are at 2 Kings 5. This is a whole chapter. There was a man by the name of Naaman. He was a leper. He was a man of valor, strong man in the army. And what happened was he was smitten with leprosy. He was smitten with leprosy. Okay? Now, he had a servant, and she said, I know a prophet. She was a Hebrew. She was a Hebrew. Naaman was not a Hebrew. Naaman was, again, a man of valor. You have to ask yourself, how is he a man of valor and a fighting machine if he had knuckles twisted all up? Obviously, he couldn't have had that. That's why I'm telling you, leprosy is not that. Naaman was just simply a white man or a person with a white spot on it that had a white hair inside. We'll read later how if it had a white hair inside of that white spot, he was considered a leper, unclean. They're clean and unclean. Naaman was unclean. So, because if you're clean, you're treated like everybody else. But if you're unclean, that had to do with sin in your life. Either somebody in your family was cursed with leprosy and you picked up the curse, or you was cursed with it. So anyway, Naaman had this curse of leprosy, being unclean. So what happened was he had a servant that was a Hebrew, and she said, I know a prophet that can heal you. He ended up going to the prophet, and the prophet said, go dip in the River Jordan. He dipped in the River Jordan, and the Bible says flesh returned as that of a child. All children have one-tone flesh. Okay, so Naaman, let's talk about what he had. Naaman, well, I can prove my point with another scripture. So anyway, Naaman gets healed, and he thanks the prophet for his healing. Whatever leprosy is, he got healed from it, and he thanks the prophet for this. And then the prophet said, we just thank the Most High, basically. Okay, so the prophet servant, Gehazi, went and caught Naaman and he was leaving and said the prophet changed his mind. And he got all types of wealth from this Naaman who had leprosy for his healing. When he got back to the prophet said, I know what you did. I'm going to let Arlene pick up there. I think this, Arlene, is like 3 verses from the very end. Would you back up? And this is what the prophet told his servant once he got back from receiving all those gifts that he wasn't supposed to for Naaman's healing. He's going to be cursed with the same type of leprosy that Naaman had. And listen to
how long. This is how you're going to know whether or not it's 2011 or whether or not it has anything to do with today, our society. Go ahead.
When he, Gehazi, went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went whither. And he said unto him, went not mine heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, is it time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and manservants and maidservants? The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he, Gehazi, went out from his presence a leper as white as snow.
What do you think of that?
Well, obviously, because of his disobedience, Elisha basically cursed him or gave him the plague of leprosy that was on Naaman. And he also said that it'll be on you and on your seed forever. So that means that that's something that he was going to pass down through generations.
And 2011 is not the end of forever. So the question is, where are those people today? That's the question. So if Gehazi's descendants, well, if he, when he started having children back then, and children having children, how many of his descendants would there be today? How many of the Gehazi descendants would there be today? So a lot of people that get vitiligo, or a lot of people that become albinism, it could be a result of them being a direct relative of Gehazi or of Naaman. So how did Naaman get in the first place? Back then, I'm telling y'all, people were cursed like this. Now today, look, both people in the church are having a lot of power. For whatever reason, we're going through a drought. And a lot of men of the cloth or men of the Most High, they don't curse people this way. Again, since Christ comes, folks, this is not even needed anymore. Okay, we're not under Levitical law, but back up under Levitical law, people were getting cursed to be white. That's your Bible. That's your Bible all day long. People was cursed white. People was cursed with a white spot. It wasn't always the whole body white. You have a white spot that had that white hair in it, and that was meant you're unclean. So let's go ahead and look at Leviticus 13, but don't take that, what you just read, lightly. The Gehazi descendants being cursed forever white. There would be millions of them there today. Anybody that had back then would have millions of folks today. And you have to ask yourself, where are they at?
And also, I mean, what would cause them to be able to remain white forever? You know, because if they come in contact with melanin, they're going to change.
Right. And I think what has happened is a lot of people, you know, but even if they was, even Arlene, if they, all we're saying is, folks, let's really understand something here, that if there were millions of people, we obviously is going to know who they are. And remember, there's more than just, we would obviously have seen them. There is no people on our planet as white as snow. Like the Bible says, leprosy is snow, Moses became leprosy is snow, and Miriam became leprosy is snow. There's nobody the color of snow. So when Gehazi descendants was cursed with leprosy, there is not going to be these millions of his descendants white as snow. Nobody is the color of snow. But if you're looking at black people all day, like in Africa, and you see a white person, you do think of snow. You have to experience it. I actually experienced that when traveling abroad. You know, you keep seeing black skin after a while. When you see a white person, it's something to see. And I'm being as real and honest as I can, okay? So, anyway, my phone is beeping here, but let's go ahead. And Arlene, if you don't mind getting Leviticus 13, we're going to start out reading in Leviticus 13, please.
And the Most High spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot.
Rising, scab, bright spot. Watch this.
And it be in the skin of his flesh like the plague of leprosy. Then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest.
Now notice it says like the plague of leprosy. It's saying if when somebody has these spots rising, and it be like the plague of leprosy. So it's comparing with the plague of leprosy. So the plague of leprosy was already known back then, which was just an albino. It'll make more sense as you read. So it's comparing these spots that people have, rising scab, bright spot, is comparing these to something else. Read that scripture again.
When a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or a bright spot, and in it, in the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the priest, or unto one of his sons the priest. And the priest shall look on the plague in the skin of the flesh, and when the hair in the plague is turned white, and the plague in sight be deeper than the skin of his flesh, it is a plague of leprosy.
Now this is up under the skin. See, a lot of people are saying leprosy is sores. That means something on top of the skin, where if you're running your fingernails, it'll run into something because your skin is something on top of the skin. This is underneath the skin, folks. Again, we're talking about discoloration here. It's going to talk about things on top of the skin a little bit, but right now it's talking about under the skin.
And like I said earlier,
we're reading something now, and he's saying when a person has a rising, a scab, a bright spot, and it be like, it looks like this albino. And y'all don't know that that's what he's saying yet, but in a minute it's going to make sense, and you'll see why I'm saying that the plague of leprosy is nothing more than an albino. He's saying when you have these things happen to you, and it's like the same color or pigmentation of an albino, then do this, 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 and the other. But you don't know that he's talking about an albino yet, but it's going to be very clear later on. Go ahead.
The priest shall look on him and pronounce him unclean. If the bright spot be white in the skin of his flesh, and in sight be not deeper than the skin, and the hair thereof be not turned white, then the priest shall shut up him that hath the plague 7 days. The priest shall look on him the seventh day, and behold, if the plague in his sight be at a stay, and the plague spread not in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days more. The priest shall look on him again the seventh day, and behold, if the plague be somewhat dark, and the plague spread not in the skin, the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is but a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab spread much abroad in the skin, after that he has been seen of the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen of the priest again. And if the priest see that, behold, the scab spreadeth in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprosy. When the plague of leprosy is in a man, then he shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the rising be white in the skin, and it turn the hair white, and there be quick raw flesh in the rising.
Now, quick raw flesh is nothing more than reddish white flesh, a breaking of the flesh where you can see through the skin. Like I said, how it looks inside of your mouth, how it looks under your eyelid, where there's raw flesh, how it would look if you was in surgery. That's the look of quick raw flesh, nothing more than reddish white. But it's going to use the word reddish white a little later. Go ahead.
It is an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, and the priest shall pronounce him unclean. and shall not shut him up, for he is unclean. And if a leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all of the skin of him that hath the plague from his head, even unto his foot, wheresoever the priest looketh, then the priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy have covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white. He is clean. You want to comment on that?
Listen to that. That's nothing more than vitiligo. When the skin keeps turning, we talked to Kimberly earlier. She had a daughter who had a spot, and it was changing. It was spreading. Then it stopped. She went to prayer, get prayer in the church, and I guess the minister's curse, whatever it was, it stopped moving. Okay, her daughter then the spot became dark. Y'all just heard her tell this testimony. Okay, so Kimberly's daughter would be considered clean. Now, here's a person who have albinism, they have a vitiligo, the white spot is changing, it's spreading.
Color.
When the whole body is white, the whole body said, what's up, the priest looking? Then they are considered clean as well. Why? They're all one tone. But it says, when quick raw flesh appear. When quick raw flesh. And raw, that word is not the same as what we think of today. Raw flesh means half-colored. When half-colored flesh appear. When a breaking of this one tone appear. A spot that's not the same color of the other. And it's reddish white, they're considered unclean. All they need to read that part and fish raw flesh appear. Okay, back up, read the scripture again, and then follow it on with the next scripture.
The priest shall consider, and behold, if the leprosy hath covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. It is all turned white, he is clean. But when raw flesh appeareth in him, he shall be unclean. And the priest shall see the raw flesh, and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again.
Okay, here we go. Raw flesh turn. Raw flesh turn. So raw can't mean what a lot of y'all think it means. It don't mean guts and blood, because it's saying it turn again. That's what happened to Naaman. The Bible kept using the word flesh return. We didn't read the story of Naaman for time's sake, but if you read 2 Kings 5 and Leviticus 13 after the show, I'm telling you stuff will make more sense. We kept using the term, and Naaman's flesh returned again. Or use the word recovered. And Naaman recover. Words in biblical days and words in today's terms is two different definitions. Words in biblical times, I should say definitions in biblical times and definition of today's time, is two different worlds. Namely, when it said recover, it meant what it said. Recover. Arlene just read where it says that this raw flesh returned. Read that one more time, Arlene. This is your Bible, folks. Remember, Christ said, man shall live by every word. We need this chapter. You ever ask yourself, why is this plague has its own chapter in the Bible and no other plague does? That's because the Most High knew we would be so confused in this day and time, we would need this old truth. Go ahead.
And the priest shall see the raw flesh and pronounce him to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is a leprosy. Or if the raw flesh turn again and be changed unto white, he shall come unto the priest. And the priest shall see him, and behold, if the plague be turned into white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean that hath the plague. He is clean. The flesh also in which even in the skin thereof was a boil and is healed, and in the place of the boil there be a white rising or a bright spot, white and somewhat reddish, and it be showed to the priest. And if when the priest seeth it, behold, it be in the sight lower than the skin, and the hair thereof be turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague of leprosy broken out of the boil.
Now I want to share on this one. Listen,
when y'all see words like this, you should be making notes. When you see words like gas, hot burning, rising, those are things that white skin come out of. That's not leprosy. Let's talk about scabs, let's say. It's not saying the scabs is leprosy. That's what the preachers preach. They preach the sword is leprosy. That's not what Leviticus 13 teaches, though. The white skin that comes out of the sore, I mean of the scab, excuse me, is leprosy. Now watch this. Have y'all ever got a sore before? When it heals, you know, I leave that little white area around it. That's what we're talking about today. That whiteness is the whiteness we're talking about today. When you have a sore and it heals, some of the nice size sore and it heals, it leaves that white spot. It don't matter if it's on brown skin or if it's on the whatever color skin you have. When you have a sore and it heals and it scabs, it becomes, it leaves this white spot. That's the white spot we're talking about. Our bodies do the same thing they did in ancient times. Okay, go ahead, Arlene.
And if you pull off the scab, is that the, that hot flesh, that pink flesh?
Yeah, if you pull off the scab, that pink look, that raw, that, that's quick raw flesh, that reddish white. But that's the actual sore, Arlene. I don't want to get up to the sore because...
No, I mean when it's actually healed underneath the scab and the scab comes off the white... And then
it's not covered, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not covered, right. That's all we're talking about today. People make this very complicated, but I'm telling you, all these sores and fingers and nubbed up hands, that has nothing to do with leprosy. Nothing whatsoever. That's something else. Paul sees some people say it is. I don't know what it is, but it is definitely not Bible leprosy. Bible leprosy, there was a king. Let me give you guys a picture before we forget, because I don't want to get too busy. But those of you that want to do further research on this, because some of y'all are serious, you want to know truth. So those of you that want more scriptures, let me give you all these scriptures because time is kind of slipping away. But here are the people in the Bible that had leprosy, and what you want to do is just simply go to these scriptures and read the stories yourself. And based upon what we're sharing today, this key of information, take this key and apply it to these stories. King Uzziah had leprosy in 2 Chronicles 26 and 21. Uzziah, some people say, Uzziah, 2 Chronicles 26, 21. King Azariah had leprosy, 2 Kings 15 and 5. Read stories surrounding that man and his leprosy. Okay? Simon the leper, Matthew 26 and 6. Simon the leper, Matthew 26 and 6. And notice his name stayed Simon the leper even after Christ touched him. Even after Christ touched him, they continued to call him Simon the leper. Why? He stayed a leper. Christ did not heal him. Christ cleansed him. Lepers are cleansed. In other words, they have either a white spot, a round spot on their body, just a small spot, or their whole body is white, or then they have a large spot. If they got quick raw flesh, or that raw, that what Arlene was just describing, that reddish white look, anywhere on their body, they're considered unclean. So when Christ touched you and that part of your body become dark or the same color as everything else, you was considered clean. That's all cleansing a leper was. Again, some lepers were brown-skinned people. They had a circle somewhere on their body that had white hairs inside of it. That was considered unclean leprosy. Christ, what he did was touch them, and that spot became dark. The white hair must have had to disappear because anytime there was a white hair, it was unclean. So Christ touched them, and that white hair become yellow or darker, and that spot became darker, and they didn't have the raw flesh look or the reddish white look in that spot. That was a type of cleansing. Okay? It's just that simple, folks. You just heard Kimberly talk about herbs that she know of that can help, you know, darken those spots. So I'm telling you, it's very possible that mankind today had the ability to darken the spots. What do you think the Messiah was doing? That's all he was doing. That's called cleansing the leper. They still was a leper. Leper just means white. But they could go and mingle among everybody else and live a normal life if they was clean. But if you had a round spot and had a white hair in it, or you had quick raw flesh that reddish white, you could not mingle with other people because somebody in your family or lineage was cursed with sin, and you couldn't be a priest, and you couldn't do this, and you couldn't do that. That's just what the law was with the Israelites. Now, other nations that had their albinos and vitiligo, they didn't have these laws. So those people probably mixed with, you know, everybody. And so anyway, moving right along, Simon the leper. That was Luke 17, 11 through 19. And then we want to look at Matthew 8 and 2. Then we want to look at, you can do this on your own time. 2 Kings 7 and 3, 2 Kings 7 and 3 is the story of the four lepers at the gate. The four lepers at the gate. And they're the ones that prove that leprosy, this story is the story that proves that leprosy is not contagious, it's not fatal. Because these lepers, four of them, was at the gate. They had to become themselves unclean because the Most High didn't play around. If you had leprosy, you just couldn't mingle with everybody. And so they said to themselves, why sit we here till we die? And a lot of preachers used that to say that leprosy was fatal. Because these lepers looked at each other and said, why sit we here till we die? But you'll learn if you read the story, they were just talking about dying of starvation, not dying of their leprosy, because they said, if we go down to the enemy camp and get some food, steal some food, he said, if we get caught, we're going to die. They're going to kill us. He said, but now if they don't catch us, we shall live. In other words, we'll get to eat and we shall live. Well, if they had leprosy and they were going to die anyway, they can't say we shall live. So that story actually proves that leprosy is not fatal. So anyway, those are some additional scripture reading. Okay, Arlene, were you done? Where are we at?
Verse
21, go right ahead.
But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hairs therein, and if it be no lower than the skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And if it spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a plague. But if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if there be any flesh in the skin thereof, there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a white bright spot, somewhat reddish or white, then the priest shall look upon it, and behold.
Yeah, those that it differentiates between the white spot, okay, and it have a white spot again. The whiteness is not the same. Read that again. I want everybody to really listen to this verse.
Okay, but if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not, it is a burning and it's clean. If there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning, and the quick flesh that burneth have a light bright spot, somewhat reddish or white.
So this comes out of the reddish white comes out of. It's not the same as the scab. It's not the same thing as the hot burning. It's not the same thing as, like I said, scab or the what am I saying here?
Verse 20.
I was looking for another verse there. That's just it's the same thing that that one said. But the main thing I'm trying to show folks is that with this quick raw flesh. Let me just read again here. But there was another scripture that said the exact same thing another way. It says, or if there be any flesh in the skin whereof there is a hot burning. Somebody might say, what is a hot burning? Watch this. And the quick flesh that burneth have a white spot. Whatever they're talking about, be it a scalp
or be it a rising or whatever they're talking about, the whiteness always come out of it. That's all I'm trying to say. And the whiteness is what we call leprosy, not the thing itself that it comes from, like the rising of the scab. That's my point. Go right ahead.
Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the hair in the bright spot be turned white, and it be in sight deeper than the skin, it is a leprosy broken out of the burning. Wherefore the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. But if the priest look on it, and behold, there be no white hair in the bright spot, and it be no lower than the other skin, but be somewhat dark, then the priest shall shut him up 7 days. And the priest shall look upon him the seventh day, and if it be spread much abroad in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is the plague of leprosy. And if the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning. Did you hear that? Is that the one? It is a rising of the burning. If the bright spot stay in his place and spread not in the skin, but it be somewhat dark, it is a rising of the burning. And the priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is an inflammation of the burning. If a man or woman have a plague upon the head or the beard, then the priest shall see the plague, and behold, if it be in sight deeper than the skin, and there be in it a yellow thin hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a dry skull, even a leprosy upon the head or beard. And if the priest look on the plague of the skull, and behold, it be not in sight deeper than the skin, and that there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall shut him up that hath the plague of the skull 7 days. And in the seventh day, the priest shall look on the plague, and behold, if the skull spread not, and there be in it no yellow hair, the skull be not deeper in sight than the skin, he shall be shaven, but the skull shall not shave. And the priest shall shut him up that hath the skull even 7 days more. In the seventh day, the priest shall look on the skull, and behold, if the skull be not spread in the skin, nor be in sight deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. Keep reading.
Again, y'all seeing different things that come. White skin is coming out of these different things we're reading. The skull is not the leprosy or not the white skin. It's a big difference between, again, I know I keep saying this, but I want y'all to get this because we've been taught by a lot of pastors, preachers, and all due respect to them, but we're taught that sores is leprosy. No, the white skin that comes out of it is. We've been taught that the arising is leprosy. No, the white skin that comes out of it is. We've been taught a skull is leprosy. No, the white skin that comes out of it is. This, the white skin is the leprosy part. But then there are some white skin that has come out, that come about, and it has absolutely nothing to do with none of this. They're just born white. Albinism. Or somebody gets to the light and don't have nothing to do with no sore. Most of the time, it don't have nothing to do with this. Remember, the first verse Arlene read today was, when a man have these arising scab, a bright spot, and it be like the plague of leprosy. So the plague of leprosy really is not even, these are different things that's like the plague of leprosy. So what is the plague of leprosy? Read that again one more time, Arlene, the first verse of Leviticus 13. I think somebody needs this. Again, we're reading things that these are things that are brought to the priest, and somebody's supposed to tell the priest, priest, this person have a white spot, and it's just like the plague of leprosy. What I wish we had in the Bible was a scripture defining the plague of leprosy or albinism. We don't. They're assuming. Back in the biblical days, everybody knew that an albino was a leper. They knew that. So These people with these spots are brought, and this is what it says, Garland.
And the Most High spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man shall have in the skin of his flesh a rising, a scab, or bright spot, and in it be the skin of his flesh, like the plague of leprosy, then he shall be brought unto Aaron the
priest. Okay, hold on. A rising scab, a bright spot. Bring them to the sons of Aaron, the Levitical priests. Bring them. Do they have a rising? Whatever a rising is, do they have a scab? Whatever a scab is, do they have a bright spot? It appeared on their body. So if they have a bright spot, they must have been brown. But anyway, bring them, bring them, bring them. And the priest was going to look, and the scripture just says, and these three, rising, scab, bright spot, it be in the flesh, and it's looking like this plague of leprosy. But what is the plague of leprosy? That is not in Leviticus 13. And the plague of leprosy, everybody knew then, was albino. That's what I'm trying to nail down today. But as we have read, you saw Arlene talk about the reddish whiteness, and you know that was albinism. So I just wanted to just nail that. Now let's look back over and finish up. We're going to read all the way down to we'll stop at verse number 46, Arlene. That's when it starts talking about leprosies in the garment. We can stop there because, of course, we're not talking about garments today or leprosy that can be in the house. So this particular blog of Bible study is simply to show that vitiligo, albinism, is a, not all forms of leprosy, but a form of leprosy. Go right ahead.
Okay. If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spot, even white bright spot, then the priest shall look and behold, if their bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin, he is clean. And
one more time on that.
If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots or even white bright spots, then the priest shall look and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is clean.
Hold on. I want y'all to really get this ready. I'm about to drop some on y'all that a lot of y'all never heard before. I know you never heard this before. But I want you to read this one more time. I know this is the third time, but I want you to read it slower this time, Arlene. Watch this.
If a man also or a woman have in the skin of their flesh bright spots, even white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and behold, if the bright spots in the skin of their flesh be darkish white, it is a freckled spot that groweth in the skin. He is clean.
Now, Freckles. What do we call freckles today? A freckle is most of the time a little dark spot, am I right?
Yeah.
Okay? But, okay, this is what I was going to share with everybody. What the Most High shared with me. I have no proof of this. This is one of those things I know by the Spirit. And I bet you there's some scientists somewhere saying, yeah, right, by the Spirit. You read my book. No, I haven't read your book. I haven't read any books. I have never read nothing to support what I'm about to say. But I know, Arlene, somewhere out there, because what happens, I'll learn something by the Spirit, like when reading Leviticus 13. Then I'll go talk to eye doctors, and they say, well, yeah, black people's eyes are stronger at birth. And when they grow up, they may need glasses because of their different habits and stuff. But at birth, they talk about black people, black babies at birth, and there is a big difference, okay? We're not talking about babies better than each other. We're not talking about people being superior. We ain't on that crap. I'm just trying to show science and genes, genetics. So I go and I talk with doctors, and then they confirm what the scripture have already told me. But I was talking about freckles. Freckles, when you see a person with freckles, that dark, little dark speck, That's what color used to be. Everybody look at the white part of the body, or even black people have freckles. And everybody always look at, or brown people have freckles. And they always look at the look. The freckle is the original color. Freckles look like dirt. I just thought I dropped it on.
That's interesting. Okay. The man whose hair is falling off his head, he is bald. Yet.
Now hold on. They're talking about bald head in the middle of talking about plagues. Uh-oh. Here's another thing that happens to us that's not normal. But this is not just about white skin. If we look at certain parts of the Bible, it might talk about giants. Not normal. Be 7 foot. I mean, it's normal, but it's not in the. It's not what the Most High originally planned for man. This come out of sin, being too tall, too short, not being able to produce children, no hair. All these things is a result of sin, and so is losing pigmentation or losing your brown earth.
And the man whose hair has fallen off his head, he is bald, yet is he clean. He that hath his hair fallen off from the part of his head toward his face, he is forehead bald, yet he is clean. And if there be in the bald head or a bald forehead a white reddish sore, it...
Okay, now hold on. This is important. This is in the forehead. So how can it have anything to do with these preachers talking about leprosy is fingers, limbs, twisting all up? It's in the forehead. Your forehead can't twist up. And it's a reddish white. Come on, y'all. It's what you think. Y'all know in y'all heart right now, listen to me, what we're talking about. We're just talking about a part of your body that turns the color of a mutation. The color of your inside of your mouth is a mutation. That color mutated. Under the color of your eyelid, if somebody would cut you open before you start to bleed, that color, that's the reddish white we're talking about. Go right ahead, Arlene.
The priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white, reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh, he...
Hold on. Read that again. That was major.
If the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appeareth in the skin of the flesh.
Now, here it does mention a sore. And it says the color of the sore be the same as the color of leprosy. That I rest my case, Your Honor. That's the point we're trying to make. It does. Finally, what verse are we on?
That's verse 43.
We done read all these scriptures, and we finally get to the word sore, like they say what leprosy is. Now listen to what it says. It goes on to say it's not that sore that's the leprosy. Listen, the same color of a sore is what I'm talking about, that reddish-white look. That is what a lot of white people have in their flesh. A certain part of their flesh turns like that. That's called quick raw flesh. The color of a sore is the color of quick raw flesh. That's all it means. Read that again.
Then the priest shall look upon it, and behold, if the rising of the sore be white reddish in his bald head or in his bald forehead, as the leprosy appear in the skin of the flesh, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall pronounce him utterly unclean. His plague is in his head.
And it's because it's raw flesh. It's because it's reddish white, the reason he is unclean. Just like in Leviticus 13, when a person with vitiligo is red, that when they're covered from head to toe, wherever the priest looketh, they're covered 100% of their body. Now the vitiligo has spread. Now they're all white. But when they have the same term, quick raw flesh, they were unclean, so is this person they have in their forehead. They just happen to have a sore, but if they're red, if it's got the same reddish white look, they're unclean.
And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein in the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled, he is unclean. He shall dwell alone, without the camp shall his habitation be.
Okay. Now, I want everybody, because then it starts talking about leprosy of the garment, then it starts talking about, and we got about 6 minutes, so quickly, I want everybody to turn on to Leviticus 20, Leviticus 14 and 54. So, we stop reading because it's going to start talking about garments and leprosy that can be in the house, which is irrelevant to what we're proving today. But at the end of all of this leprosy talk, it talks about what is, it talks about what we just talked about. So look at verse 54. Y'all understand what I mean when she starts to read. Now remember, we talked about different types of leprosy. They're about to name the types that we've just discussed right now. It's ending with these last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. But this is 14 and 54. It's letting you know what we just read.
This is the law for all manner of plague of leprosy and scar, and for the leprosy of a garment and of a house, and for a rising, and for a scab, and for a bright spot, to teach when it is unclean and when it is clean. This is the law of leprosy.
Folks, again, this is the law of leprosy. We're going to go ahead and end right here.
I know.
Okay, check this song out. Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Hope everybody understood what we shared. Again, please listen to the previous episodes, the archives information. We go into this a whole lot further. But check out this song, all right? You'll like this. It's a related.
In the pages, and you'll see black faces, the people in the book, yeah, they look like me, change the faces of the color they took from me, made from the purest of the rich dark mud, what color was he when it was all said and done, tell me, what color would be the Israelite if he caught leprosy, his skin would turn white, Moses put his hand in his bosom and turned snow, did it again and it went back to its natural tone, King Solomon said I'm black but I'm comely, then what color would all of Solomon's sons be, Jesus went to a black Egypt to hide, how could that be done with blonde hair with blue eyes, Samson had seven locks, he talks about hair like wool, feet burnt like coal pot, Paul was mistaken for the Egyptian criminal, could that be possible if he had a white visual, it's not about skin color, or close to that it's just a fact, the people of the Bible are black, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph and Benjamin, who are the 12 tribes of Israel, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph and Benjamin, who are the 12 tribes of Israel, black hats and skull caps, black suits with white strings, the only thing they ain't black, the Israeli is from the land, but the Israelite is from Jacob, who was a man, they dwelt by the Caspian Sea, the Black Sea, Gentiles, before they put on the mask of me, the seed of Japheth, what the heck, how could you be a Jew, as your father is Ashkenaz, they met with a Muslim bishop, an Israelite, to determine what doctrine sounded the most right, the religion of the Jews chose the Kagan, they mixed it with the doctrine of pagan, they wrote their own Talmud, many books they finished, and they tried to say Hebrew was the European Yiddish, today, they call themselves Jews. How bizarre, yesterday they were barbarians, known as Khazars. God, may God show, the only fake in this written in Revelation, to the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9 to be exact, it's undisputable, the Israelites are black. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, about white or black or anything to that direction. Every man got flesh and bones and skin tones. The Israelites are black. I'm just making it known. The truth hurts, but there's no other way to say it. If you missed it, press stop, rewind the blade. If you understand it, come on, come on, fall in the rank. Yo, here comes the roll call. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin.
We are the 12 tribes of Israel.
Reuben, Simeon, Levi.